This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Cincinnati,
we're awesome. Go Reds, go. Go Reds, go. Dead Red Cincinnati. 4th of July week. And my partner, America. My partner is the picture of America.
That's right.
You like this holiday, don't you?
These colors don't run, brother. They stand up and fight.
Happy 4th, Sam.
Likewise, buddy.
Yeah, good to see you. This is going to be a good week and I think a good show. Listen, we started talking about the Reds at Yankee Stadium this week, so let's start with this. You first went to that ballpark back in 2012. And in that series in 2012, the Reds took 2 of 3 from the Yankees. Pretty standard Reds baseball for that era. Johnny Cueto won. Homer Bailey won. Ryan Ludwig had a big game. Joey Votto homered. All of that. But your most, I guess, strongest memory from that game or that series and the visit to that ballpark for the first time was what?
It took place before baseball was played. It was a day game, so it might have been the third game of the series. And I'm walking out and to the bullpen, and you know everybody's out there and does their. Sorry, coming down here a little bit. Don't want to show a nipple. You know, walking out to the bullpen, and all the guys, you know, they're out there doing their little run around and all this jazz, and Derek Jeter's out there running around, and I never played against him, never seen him anything. First, I was surprised. He's bigger than you think, mm-hmm. You know, and just I wasn't one of those guys, and you and I have talked about this. We talked about it with rivalry. I would not like a hugger or anything like that, and certainly I didn't know the guy, but it like just want to look over and like, hey, man, and you don't have to say it. He already knew. It was like, I respect you. You're awesome. Way to go. How's Mariah Carey? Whatever. you know, and it was just as simple as that and as simple as the return answer.
And he acknowledged with
he acknowledged, and that was all that was needed to be said. Like, I think he got it. I got it. His response was exactly why I was doing it in the first place, complete class. And then the cherry on top was I got to face him later that day, of course, with the bases loaded. Yankee Stadium, and I got him to ground out to short. But there was 2 outs, bases loaded, was going to go to the well. Sinker, 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 strike, ball, strike, ball, 2-1 count, grounder to shortstop, 6-4 fielder's choice. So
how about that?
I was like, I respect you, man, but I ain't giving it to you.
That was the captain. That was number 2. And just before we move on, though, you know, I know – players and you in particular have opinions of other players and their careers, how they handle themselves. What stood out to you about Jeter during his time?
Just that. I mean, it was, did anybody ever read or hear a bad thing about him? No. Like he went about it the right way. He was respectful, and it is just amazing to me. Awesome for that organization. Like, Aaron Judge is that same cloth, man. Like, I mean, just awesome dude. Does the right things, plays the game the right way. I mean, he hits home runs that, you know, are no doubters. Bat down, run around. It's just little things like that to me. And that's an example. He's a captain because that's an example for the guys that are coming up in that organization. It's an example for the younger kids around the country who are at the grassroots level, I think is the what they call it. You know, just learning how to play the game. And you know, I see these 12-year-old kids running around with oven mitts hanging out of their back pocket. I'm like, really? Watch Derek Jeter. And look, I love L.A. De La Cruz to death, but he's got every gadget that there is, you know, and that just – L.A.'s awesome, and I love to watch him, but I just love kind of that standard operating procedure. And so Jeter passed that along to Judgey, and that's pretty cool.
Judges of the same cloth. The cloth is just a triple X now.
Instead of with pinstripes on it.
whatever Jeter wore.
It's a pinstripe suit.
How do you think you would have fit? Could you have been a Yankee? Could you have been – Would you have bought into the no facial hair and the other things that come with being a part of that organization?
I mean, it's hard to, just because I had the mustache around here, I think it's hard for people to imagine that I would have, but could I have fit in? I mean, yeah, because I don't think that I would have been, you know, they talk about some people not being able to play in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that was, I don't think I gave enough to really worry about it. You know, it was right. Like, and look, Graham said something the other night was, hey, it's a stadium, especially after the first time you've played in it. It does become a different ballpark, because I was watching batting practice yesterday and was thinking about some of the guys who never been there. And you don't think within the moment like, oh, man, I'm hitting taters at Yankee Stadium. You're hitting batting practice at a ballpark, right? I mean, after the first time you do it, it becomes another ballpark. It has to. Or else it gets you.
Mm-hmm.
So do I think I could have – you can still wear mustaches on the in the Yankee organization too, partners. So. I don't know if I'd have had all this crap.
It would have been interesting. We'll finish that up. The movie Catch Me If You Can with Leonardo DiCaprio mm-hmm. and Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken, the dad, asks Leonardo DiCaprio, the son. He goes, hey, son, do you know why the Yankees always win?
And he says, take their eyes off the pinstripes.
Yeah, he said, because they have Mickey Mantle. And he goes, nope, because people can't stop looking at those pinstripes. And you know what? There's something to that. There's definitely something to it. That's fun. All right, with that, we say welcome inside Dead Red Cincinnati. Happy 4th. If you're lucky enough to spend the 4th with Sam, it looks like it would be festive and always a good time. So we're glad to have you with us for that. But let's jump in with the Reds right now. And the first half for the Reds, Sam – there's been an 8-game losing streak. There's been a 7-game winning streak. And you characterized this on the show when we talk about it as the Reds' Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Where do you see that as it stands right now as we come up to the All-Star break here in a couple of weeks and what it means and how it trickles through the organization in terms of what they are at the halfway point?
Well, I think it's been continued to be consistent. I think the last 5 games, it's been 11-0, 11-0, and 5. I would split the 11s into 2 5s, right? A 5 and a 6. You start doing that with the way that this pitching staff's been throwing the ball, you got a lot more in the left column than the right, I think, right now, because they've just been really good. A lot of that, and, you know, we were – hesitant before the season to really anoint them having a huge bump up from last year, because it was such a huge bump year over year, you know, 20 wins from 22 to 23, pretty unheard of. I didn't feel like it was going to go much farther north than that. And that was more because I'm not in the talent level. They obviously have it. They were able to make the big jump the 1 year, but coming into this year, all the adjustment stuff that was going to have to go on. Like the guys that are on the pitching staff had been for a couple years, and this was kind of their time to have made adjustments, and it looks like they sure have. From an offensive standpoint, it was mostly those young kids. You're going to be, you knew coming in, you were not going to have TJ Friedel for a good portion of it, Matt McClain for maybe all of it, Nick Lodolo didn't start, Noelvi Marte. That is 3 of your probably top 5 or 6 hitters. in the lineup. Maybe at some point it's your 1-2-3 in your lineup, but who knows? And then your frontline starter. So there was going to be just from an offensive standpoint, it was the adjustments that each of the young guys were going to have to make. And the final line was going to be how quickly could they make them? And day to day, they're not making them right now. Maybe they're making them within a series. Maybe they're making them within a week, but you have to shorten that gap from the closer you can get to making an adjustment, a pitch at a time. There's where your greatness lies.
Yeah. Jonathan India, one of the most productive offensive players in the National League in the month of June. Looks a lot like Rookie of the Year India, minus the power.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not hitting home runs and doubles at the rate that he did his rookie year. He's hitting doubles now.
Yeah, the doubles all of a sudden just came.
All of a sudden for the last couple of weeks, but I don't know if he'll get to his total from 2021. But I think knowing India, the player, the way that we do, and India, the person, the way that we do, the fact that he got healthy and got back to this, I don't think it surprises anyone. But now it certainly, you know, creates a different conversation in terms of where this team is going and where Jonathan India is headed right now. What do you make of him getting hot right in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline?
I'm thankful for it because they've needed him, you know, I'm looking at the group as a whole, obviously they need the help and he would be a guy that they would all look to for that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he's pretty veteran on this team and has had some success. I'm happy for him, you know, because there has been a lot for him to unpack over the past couple of years with, you know, some injuries, some underperformance, some question mark, you know, them referring to him as Captain America of America's team last year. And then he comes into camp, you know, several months later without any place to play.
Right.
You know, that's how do you process that? And he talks about his process almost ad nauseum, but it's true. Still, for everybody that's mentally strong and an athlete, they're still a human being, and that's going to affect you.
Yeah.
So for him to kind of come out of here recently and things to have worked out for him with,
right.
You know, and I say worked out with some salt or whatever you want to call it, but Matt McClain going down provides an opportunity for, and baseball does that a lot. The ball don't lie. That's a segment for some time, but
yeah.
You know, for him to be in there and doing what he's doing, I think it's great. And he's a good player. We had him pegged for this.
Right, right. And I'm, you know, you're happy for Jonathan India. You're happy for the Reds because I do believe if they start to win enough to make this more interesting, you know, leading up to the All-Star break with the big homestand and as they head down the stretch, he can lead them to where they would like to go. I firmly believe that.
Did you?
But when we talk about where this team goes, you and I have had this discussion about some of the things, some of the numbers that indicate things that don't necessarily reflect in the record. And you've brought up run differential, which is a great barometer for a team and some of the things that you're doing right. But it doesn't always, or in the case of the Reds, work out in wins and losses. But how do you weigh what you see when you look at some of those other numbers with some of the decisions the Reds will have to make down the stretch or in the next few weeks as it pertains to are we buyers or sellers? Gordon Wittenmeyer in the Cincinnati Inquirer just talked to Reds GM Brad Metter. He said what we're all thinking. He said, of course, we would love to add at the trade deadline. We would love to have that path ahead of us.
Makes sense.
But he also says, we got to wait and see because we don't know yet.
Yeah. That's where it becomes difficult to bet on inexperience, right? I mean, if you start looking at back of baseball cards, right? And you have proof of consistent performance over an amount of time. I mean, you look at Candelario on this team, and his trajectory has been up. It's been pretty slow and steady, but just around the league in general, you want to have a pretty good feeling in your stomach of when you're making a move that, all right, well, I can bet on this guy to do it. You can't do that with this Reds team. My counterpoint to my own point would be the evening out process.
But explain the run differential part of it real quick.
Okay, so runs, how many runs have you given up? How many runs have you scored?
Right.
More runs scored than runs allowed. positive, right?
The Reds are positive.
When I looked at this the other day, there were six teams in the National League that had a positive run differential. You may have heard some of these teams. The Dodgers, the Phillies, the Brewers, the Braves, and the San Diego Padres.
I think I counted, four first-place teams?
Something like that. There can only be three in the National League, but four very good teams, all going to be wild card, all this thing, and the Cincinnati Reds. The Reds at the time was like, you know, the Phillies is like plus 120, and the Reds is like plus 15, plus 20, which would be indicative of a record of maybe, I don't know how many call it 45 and 40. Let's say that's the games they've played right now. So it is a good indicator of success, and that you could transfer over and look at the National League or the American League as well. So that would indicate that performance should be better. Then I say that evening out process part, it's like, well, shit, man, like one day they score 11 runs, then they score zero. That's kind of evened out, right? I mean, if you split it, it's six runs or whatever, 5.5 runs a game. That's a pretty good evening out. It's just so choppy over the course of the year that you hope that there becomes the consistency of being able to do that on the daily basis. I kind of want to bet on that the second half. I do. And even though coming in, I was like, I kind of want to bet on that to happen with the people that they have. I don't think it takes another person to do it, because then you start talking about a chemistry shake, which I don't think you could bring in Matt Latos, this clubhouse, and I don't think it would screw it up. You know what I mean? But you want to make sure that you take that into account. And I do think the Reds front office has done a great job of identifying players that would come in and fit from the draft, all the signings, trades, all that stuff. I think they've done a great job of it. So it's a good indicator, and it's not an end-all be-all like no number is, but I think it just should breed some hope going into the second half.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hope for the second half, I think, and we always say, you know, we can't get ahead of ourselves, or we can, they can't. But I think a big part of what kind of hope you have for the second half will be determined in the final 10 games before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Reds have 10 games at Great American Ballpark against teams that, frankly, aren't very good. And if you win a good chunk of those and look like a team that can win those games, you hit the break in a lot better shape, and you come out of the break with a different perspective, I think, on the second half of the season. And when you come out of the break, you know, you're going to have 2 weeks till the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So you have to get some answers to those questions, or at least have a feel for how you're going to answer some of those questions to know if you're going to stay put, add, sell. And with the additional wild card, it's hard to convince yourself that you don't have a chance.
But isn't it funny how every little bit that we go on, oh, they've got the National League West. Oh, they've got a bunch of divisional. Oh, they've got – every chunk is important, man. And I mean, I think that's across the board.
Yeah. I think last year the Diamondbacks were 35 and 44, you know, right about this time, ended up in the World Series. So
there
is that. And as we always say, that's baseball.
That is baseball.
That's baseball. All right. You want to do five and dive?
Sure.
All right. Let's preface five and dive by the fact that we're still on a little bit of this New York theme.
Okay.
And you made the comment, I guess last night, that your feeling about the city of New York changed or evolved from the first time you visited to some of the more recent times you visited? What about that?
Yes, true.
How so?
Just because it's, you know, I came from the town I grew up in was 256 people.
Okay. How many of those were you related to?
Yeah, exactly. You know, so to go from that, where my closest neighbor is a half mile away, and now all of a sudden I'm in New York City and my closest neighbor is 6 inches from my head. Right. It's just a little shocking, you know. Yeah. So as I got around to the, you know, and grew up as a man and got to experience some of these different things, it became just a little bit easier for me to stomach and know where I'm going and be in awe of what man's capable of, the building these cities. I mean, crazy.
All right. So this is the theme for Five and Dive. It's a New York theme. So I'll hit you with these five questions and we'll see where we go. All right. Sam is in New York. Subway or cab?
Cab.
Empire State Building or Statue of Liberty?
Neither. I've been to the Empire State Building. I've been to the Statue of Liberty, so Empire State Building.
But I was, you know,
I've not toured the Empire State Building.
Knowing your love of America, which we can clearly see on display, I would think, man, you'd go to Lady Liberty.
I had to figure that out.
Sam and Lady Liberty? Come on.
I know.
All right.
I think you got to go out of like Newark or something on this ferry or what. But anyhow, Empire State.
You got to get there. Sam is hungry. New York pizza or New York cheesecake?
Pizza.
The Green Monster in Boston or Monument Park in Yankee Stadium?
The Green Monster. You put me in old Yankee Stadium, which I never was able to visit. I think it's a different deal. Now, Monument Park is, there's something. There's ghosts in
right.
there.
You can feel it.
But Fenway, you got to go on the Green Monster. My name's on the Green Monster.
Your name is in the Green Monster. All right, and we'll wrap this up. Roger Clemens or Mariano Rivera?
Well,
you got this.
I got that, and I wore number 21 all through my youth and high school days because it was Roger Clemens. I went to the University of Texas, not because of Roger Clemens. Couldn't wear 21 there. I don't know if I've told you the story of 63, but wore it all through the minor leagues. 63 is a multiple of 21, so 21 was my number. Have had a chance to spend time with Roger Clemens. Mariano Rivera, all that said. I mean, he just Inner Sandman, Cutter.
Inner Sandman, Mo, and Cutters.
There's nothing swirling around him. A lot of World Series. The only unanimous Hall of Famer in history. And one of two jerseys that I have signed by other players, him and Derek Jeter.
You have a Jeter signed jersey and a Rivera signed jersey.
Who was the last person to wear 42? Because he was grandfathered in.
Exactly. Until they retired.
That is my most cherished artifact of baseball, is the Mariano Rivera.
Did you have any kind of similar interaction with Rivera that you had?
Yeah, we had a similar career.
Did you have
We both came up as a starter and ended as a reliever.
All right. That's about the only similarity. But did you encounter Rivera and no? Okay. All right. Nope.
We'll see one of these days.
Where are the jerseys?
In a storage bin. I don't have enough room on the walls here. I had to go with number one first. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
That's good.
I like it. All right. This week is also the 11-year anniversary of your teammate and friend Homer Bailey's second no-hitter.
Yep.
Second no-hitter came against the Giants at Great American Ballpark. And, you know, no hitters are one of those things that we always like to talk about. And those of us that did not play at the level at which you played like to discuss what happens and what you do and what you don't do. And I think maybe we get a lot of that wrong.
Yeah.
Straighten me out on a few things of whether it was during one of those games that you witnessed firsthand or others that you've been a part of. Just some of Sam LaCure's personal do's and don'ts or thoughts about no-hitter etiquette.
Well, I think before you know, there's got to be a point that you're past the point of no return type of deal, right? I mean, if the guy goes 3-up, 3-down the first inning, you're not all of a sudden saying same seats, you know, like it doesn't happen that early because, I mean, anyhow. So you basically, it's the fifth. You're aware of it in the fourth. After the fifth, after five, it becomes a real thing. And then you start to wonder, based on maybe the score of the game or whatever it is, do I go through my routine to warm up?
Right.
I do not. I've only been part of homers, you know, the two in the big leagues. I do not get up and start moving around because I think that there's a visual to it of, you know, a guy turns around and looks and sees somebody warming up or whatever. He's like, what? Like, not just for a no hitter in general, like, but for the no hitter, I'm not getting up and moving anyway. Mm-hmm. It becomes, do I continue to chew sunflower seeds? Am I going to continue this chewing tobacco? You know, keep this piece of gum. And it's comes down to kind of controlling controllables. You don't want to be the one to screw it up by doing something different. I mean, you better pick and choose that time to go pee, man. Like, you know, you don't want to get up from the chair. Once you get back up and do something, same seat, same thing. And then just like in the dugout, when people stop talking to the pit, like it gets real quiet out there.
Quiet in the bullpen.
You know, it is, you're intense on, you're a fan, you know, you're kind of, it almost feels like you're all interlocked arms together out there. Like, well, I'm getting goosebumps, you know, interlocked arms out there, like waiting for this thing to happen, but you don't really want to talk to each other. Something happens. It's like a quick, you know, then there's the Joey play where he's way off the bag and catches the one. Homer doesn't get over to first base.
Decides to go to third.
That saved the day. It should have been Homer covering the bag and Joey making the flip. But since it wasn't, that was the only play Joey had. His hand was forced. And it said, because if Joey tries to beat him to the bag, he might trip and fall. And then the guy's there anyway, and it's a base hit. This creates a fielder's choice opportunity. So, just control your controllables. Make sure you're not doing anything that you haven't been doing that whole day, and which should be easy because those are the things that you kind of do every day anyway. It's like, this is how I go other than the warm up. But as soon as a hit goes up, pew, I mean, it is roadrunner shit. Everybody's running around, you know, jumping jacks, you know, all shit. I mean, you got to get it cooking pretty quick, but that was pretty fun.
And it should be noted, kids, Google it, YouTube it. And watch the celebration of the second no hitter, and watch who's storming in from the bullpen to find
Bill Bray. Get away!
Yeah, 63's throwing bodies and chairs and everything just to get to the mound. It's outstanding. It's outstanding. All right, Sam, why don't you wrap this up with a little message of what folks should do for Dead Red Cincinnati.
You go to where you usually watch your podcast, listen to your podcasts. You like them, you subscribe to them, you download them, you do all this thing, and you'll get more costume changes over here from 63 and maybe a little bit more slaw.
Yeah, we salute you and we salute the Stars and Stripes this week. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.